B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots no longer control their own destiny in the race for the AFC's top seed. That follows Saturday's 27-17 loss to Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor, his 67-yard touchdown run proved to be the difference. Chiefs at 10-4 now sit atop the AFC, while the 9-5 Patriots face a big division showdown with Buffalo on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Tom Brady shut out for the first time since 2006 as the Buccaneers lost to New Orleans 9-0 on Sunday Night Football last night. Bucks lost Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Leonard Fournette due to injury. Bruins have had four games postponed due to COVID-19. Their next scheduled game is Monday, December 27th against the Penguins, and the Celtics have seven players in health and safety protocol. Guard Josh Richardson, the latest addition. Jason Tatum, also questionable for tonight's game with an ankle injury. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the call beginning with Celtics tonight at 7 o'clock. Tip-off at 7:30 here on your home for the Seas, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines fueled by New England Dairy. Dairy gives you energy, fuel for your game day. It's good for your body and your brain. Real life needs real dairy. I'm Adam Jones. Next check of the headlines at 6:30.
Boston's most listened to sports station. But you don't have to be in Boston to listen. Download the Sports Hub app where you get your apps and listen anywhere to Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Twas the night before Christmas, all through the whole house, when I heard a crasher screaming, something was sh**ting, so I took out my from my bitches, and you know, there's a Duffo Dick and his friend Tony McGee, and all your bitch slapses. Oh, reindeer, don't back up, Duffo. What the hell were you thinking about, dude? And don't think the Vice Squad's gonna come here and with our ashes. Oh, how the whorehouse from whore, Adolfo.
Ah, the great Gunner, R.I.P.
Yes, rest in peace. Somewhere up in heaven, he's saying, mowing his lawn in a plaid shirt.
Somewhere in heaven, he's going, and Adolfo. That was his big thing. He would be like, yeah, chicks. And then you'd get like a naked girl in the studio and go, yeah, but Adolfo.
Reindeer don't go backwards, Adolfo.
I don't know what he's talking about.
He's talking about, it's not like him and Adolfo ran into a reindeer.
Tony McGee, I don't know who Tony McGee is that he references in that song.
No.
Oh, Gunner.
But Everything we have on tape, if you played it long enough, you'd go, and Adolfo.
Somewhere he is smoking all the Liggetts that you can smoke up there amongst the Liggett-smoking angels.
He was a man who was not a fan of eating. He was a man who just liked his Liggetts and his natty ice, and Adolfo. So it is the Christmas season. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. John is living the life of Riley, pretty soon driving to Philadelphia to be with his in-laws.
Yep, he is out for the rest of the year, and Adam Jones in this morning.
So he's not even gone yet?
No,
I don't think so. He just had extra days.
Got a pack.
Yeah. He's got a small pack.
Lay out all his undies and get ready to go, yeah.
I've never seen someone manage vacation worse than John Wallach. Like, it really is something to behold, the way he manages vacation. He, like when, like, you know, in the summer when you're like, oh, yeah, because he doesn't fly anywhere. So you would assume in the summer that he would be taking time off. But that's no, that's of no interest to him. And then he takes time off where he has to go call Celtics games. So he has to come back before his family in over Thanksgiving, like right after Thanksgiving, to go call a game.
I think he's doing that actually at the, like, on the 27th. There's a game after Christmas that he's calling. I'm not sure what date it is. And if there is a game.
So he has to come back from vacation to call a game. Yes, yeah. Right. That's true. So there are games.
And I've said to him, what if there was a game on Christmas? Would you, like an away game, would you, just to call the one away game on the radio, would you leave your family? And he's like, yes, I would leave my family on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would fly out the night. I would fly out on Christmas Eve, miss the entire day of. He's got, you know, 12-year-olds. These kids aren't kids forever. And I said, you would do that to call the game? He said, sure. And then
loves the game.
And then Gunnar went, Adolfo,
Bobby McGee.
So every year, Rich, except for last year because of this COVID. I go to the Holiday Pops. I do enjoy it. I must tell you, I enjoy the Holiday Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'd always gone to the kids' one because the kids' one is only an hour. So we arrive at the Holiday Pops, and you have to have proof of vaccination, which, of course, I have on my phone because I'm a mover, shaker, headline maker who's have to shown this before.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and kids do not have their proof of vaccination. But in fairness to the Holiday Pops, in the building, they had a place to do a rapid test. So that all worked out. So, so I'm just letting people know, if you're going to the Holiday Pops, just take a picture of your vaccination card. And sure enough, my family all had COVID, but they still let us in. No, no one had COVID. So so I go, and I'm enjoying the Holiday Pops, and they have an intermission, which there is no intermission in the Children's Holiday Pops. In the Children's Holiday Pops, it's just an hour. So during this testing and stuff, and then they don't let you go in during a song, and these are not brief songs.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, we should just go home. And then the people are assuring me, no, there's an intermission. I'm like, there's no intermission. Like I know more than them.
I've been to this. Yeah. There's no intermission.
I know way more than you. So anyway, so we sit. And it's delightful, and then there's an intermission. So in the intermission, we're in the second balcony. So we go down to the first balcony orchestra, and it's a room with two small bars. Now, everyone in the clan is thirsty. So you have to understand that, like, I don't know. Like, there's two bartenders at every bar, and so there's two bars, four bartenders. Mm-hmm. They're separated. So I get into what I perceive to be a line mm-hmm. with my son. And we are going to get a Diet Coke, a ginger ale, a water, and a cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want. So I go, and I'm standing in line, and all of a sudden I hear this grumbling, like, these jerks, they just jerks, they're cutting. And I'm like, all right, ignore it. And then I get up there, and they're like, "Oh, this idiot, this son of a bitch, he just walked in front of us." And I go, "Oh, by all means, have the effing everybody." I did this. I go, "Oh, this lady's got the shakes. She needs it bad. You go to the front of the line."
You said that's about the woman. She has the shakes.
Yeah, I'm like, she needs this drink like there's no tomorrow. you by all means go to the effing front of it. And I'm like, congratulations, you win. I mean, I can't believe what I was doing. So there's an 80-year-old woman that was standing behind me and my son, and the 80-year-old woman goes, "You got a good dad. Never let anyone talk to you like that."
That's great. Now, did you indeed cut in front of all those people?
Rich, like, who knows? like, I mean, it's not like, it wasn't like a beer line at Fenway. Yeah, I mean,
it was just you walk up where you can get in, like a regular bar.
I was standing behind people. Like, I wasn't, like, I didn't just, like,
you didn't make your own line. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That's because sometimes at those bars, you don't know what the rule is. Is there a line for each bartender?
Yes.
Or is it one line in which the two bartenders serve that line?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have two cash registers.
Okay, well, then you would think, if you were looking at that situation with two cash cash registers and two bartenders that there would be two lines.
Would you be upset if you were in line and there was someone parallel to you in line who was waiting for people and then they got there before you?
No, I'd be upset, but not with the people in that line, just that I'm a jackass and I picked the wrong line.
Or you might
I'd be upset because I'd probably have the shakes at that point, so I'd be upset and ready to go.
Well, I'm like, there's no other explanation. I mean, she is so desperate to get an alcoholic beverage that
how long is intermission?
It's probably 20 minutes or something.
It's like 20. It's plenty of time.
Yeah.
It's plenty of time. And no, she had to make a big presentation about how and so I went. Oh, I made a big deal about it.
Yeah.
And saying the F word, I'm like, I'm like, this effing lady's needs a drink bad. You get her drink. I'm like, all right, I'll go where. And I go, lady, where should I stand now? Now, where should I stand? Should I go behind all these people that have got here after me? Like, what do I do? And they ignored me. But the best thing was there was like an 80-year-old lady behind Milo, and she pulled and she goes, "You know what? You have a good father." Because I expected everyone to hate me.
Oh, that's great.
But she goes, "You have a good father. You shouldn't let people talk to you like that."
I mean, that's on her. You picked the wrong line, the one that doesn't move fast.
Who is she talking to?
The general.
Yeah, just kind of letting everybody know that.
Well, she would never look you in the eye. She put it out into the ether just so she could, you know, make that statement without having to give you direct eye contact.
That accent with, and just like, ew. Oh, no, I couldn't let you get your drink. Like, why, you know what? And then you know what she could have done? What I would have done is I would have said, if I was that desperate to get my drink right away, because I've done this in beer lines. I've been like, come on, guys, hurry up, because like they were going to cut off beer sales.
Yeah.
You know what I would have said? I would have said, you know what? I believe that this is the line.
Yeah, I've done that before in the past. Excuse me, I think this is the line right here.
And you know what I would have said? I would have said, okay.
Yeah.
I would have said, okay.
There's a way to do it. And you know what? There's a lot of people who do pretend that they don't know what's going on. In your situation, it sounds like there's two bartenders, two cash registers. Hell yeah, you walk up there.
I stood behind people.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a line of theory. Yeah.
Now, were these people in a big group where one person made the order and handed the drinks to these other people? I don't know.
I don't know.
What the hell do I know about that?
But either way.
But why at a holiday event when I'm with a kid, because my wife and daughter were away by the Christmas tree. Why at an event would you not just say to the person, because I understand saying something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go, excuse me, I believe that the line starts back there. And I swear to you, I would have said, okay.
Yeah.
I my bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. But no, it started with this grumbling.
What now? What exactly did she say again? What did she just yell out there?
Well, it started with grumbling, like, how rude. And it started with that, which is getting me all pissed off. And then she goes, she's like, you know, these people, they just cut in front of us, and they, you know, this a-hole just cuts in front of us. And I went, oh, well, it was obvious, Rich. She needed that drink. That drink was so important to her. She couldn't have it in her hand fast enough.
Thank you, ma'am. But remember, let's keep the Christ in Christmas.
So long story short,
just like killer with kindness.
Long story short, the kids show better than the adult show.
No, I enjoy the holiday pops. I enjoy.
Adult show, you know, it's where they get randy.
That's what I'm saying. There's no intermission at the kids show. You don't have to worry about kids squawking in the background, judging you.
They did this like Mexican, this Mexican Christmas thing, and then on the overhead, like, you know how they bring down the signs, like the screens. They had something about how the Mary was a virgin and had a kid, and that blew my daughter's mind. She's like, what? She's like, why are they showing this? like, wait a second. Like, they're talking about how she's a virgin and she never had sex and she had this kid. And I'm like, and then she's going to my mom, and then she starts hiding her eyes, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, well, it's the truth.
Did somebody go up and read the Toys the Night Before Christmas?
Yes, it was someone from television.
Yeah, because we were asked about a decade ago and haven't been asked again.
I think, well, you know, I believe.
No, we haven't been asked. Oh, well, yeah, hell yeah, we did it. It was fun.
Well, Chachi's got to do it every year. Right. I believe Felger and his wife did it.
Arcan was at this, and yeah, he said that Felger and Sarah did the read, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He said so, they did a good job.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
Yeah.
how many different Holiday Pops performances are there, though, throughout this run? There's probably about 40, right? Because you start at the beginning of the month.
No. It's
like two a day on weekends, and then
two a day on weekends
plus the kids show,
and then during the week it's one a day, so that's about 40.
I think it's more like 15.
I think in the ad I saw that it starts like the first, the very very beginning of December.
Yes.
Okay, maybe you're right. So okay, let's say it's like 20.
Oh sure, why not?
All right. You can't. We're not one of the top 20 for them to pick. I mean, this
I was
is.
Say, I've,
it's been like 10 years. So that means there's been, you know, what, almost
should be able to get
200 people
the,
picked before us?
The Boston media scene, yeah.
Yeah. All I know is I don't think we got in for. Our families didn't get in for free.
I think we got one plus one. So we had to buy the tickets for our other two.
Well, but, I bought these on the secondary market because I got lazy and didn't buy them when they were first offered. They were $55 face value. It cost me $1,500 to get my family in.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. So there was a lot of pressure with that.
Yeah.
It's because I had to go to the old station to pick them up. Because
how did that go? Because it was sent over to the other station.
It was fine.
Okay.
It was fine.
Who'd you see?
I saw Gretchen Keefe.
Oh, nice.
And
how's Keefe doing?
He seemed to be doing well. I missed terribly being in that building. I was like,
are you being sarcastic? Oh, because it's closer.
Am I being sarcastic?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to work for Odyssey.
No. What I mean, this is a better facility, but you're right. For you, it's closer drive.
Oh, it's 1,000 times better there.
Yeah. For as far as being closer, yeah.
Their studios is good. It's all good.
I mean, I like this one way better.
I don't care where we broadcast from as long as it's not here. Yeah, I drove to Brighton, and then I went to Jim's Deli. It was the most exciting time. I went to Kiki's. I was going all over the place. I couldn't be stopped.
Nostalgia trip.
It wasn't nostalgia, it's just they had food.
Hit the Stockyard for a light lunch.
Oh, you got to go to the Stockyard.
Stockyard's all right.
But I went to Jim's, and I went to Kiki's. Mm. I said, oh, my goodness, there's food within a mile of here. This is outstanding. But there you go. That's my experience at the Holiday Pops. And my son oftentimes is embarrassed by my behavior. So I was glad that he was told by someone.
You got the old, you got the dap from the 80-year-old.
Yeah, you did the right thing. So there you go. And I enjoy the Holiday Pops. I'll tell you, that guy who conducts it likes himself. Some of himself.
Why is that?
Come on. You know.
Keith Lockhart.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know he does. You've met him.
I just think when he came in, he just couldn't wait to leave. I think that's what it was like. Oh, boy.
I think he gets a kick out of being the conductor of the Holiday Pops. I think that he gets a big kick out of that. But they do a good job. They did the 12 Days of Christmas thing where they put the signs up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the highlight to me. Because believe it or not, I like Christmas. I enjoy it. I enjoy the festivities surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the Prudential Center afterwards. Ate at some seafood place I'd never heard of.
At the Prudential?
Yeah. It's called like Ricky B's or something like that. Oh. We were supposed to go to Atlantic Fish, but this place was raining, and I was just like, all right, let's just eat here.
This is the spot.
This is the spot. But there you go. All right, everyone, enjoy your trip. In confusing lines, it's not always bad. Just confront the person. Don't say things without talking to them.
All right,
Rich, what is coming up?
Well, we'll have Ted Johnson in studio between 7 and 8, so we'll have plenty of time to talk about that horrible Patriots loss. But there was one team that might have even looked worse than the Patriots last night, and that team has Tom Brady on the roster. We will get to that game after this.
Historically bad. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tusher and Rich.
Hey, it's Dutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Well, as bad as the Patriots played on Saturday, at least they weren't as bad as Tom Brady's Bucs.
Takes the snap. He's back to pass. Looking to his left. Rush coming. Brady flushed out to his right now. Throws down the field. And that's intercepted. Picked off on the far sideline by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And the Saints do it again. Gardner-Johnson with his second pick of Brady this year.
Against a team without their head coach, which apparently looks exactly like Kevin James, and Taysom Hill at quarterback, Tom Brady for the first time since 2006 gets shut out. And the Bucs lose at home to the Saints 9-0. But not only did the Bucs lose a fairly important game, they may have lost more than that.
Third and nine. Saints bring pressure again. Brady complete. And a big hit over the middle. And Godwin is down and injured. Godwin took a shot there as he was coming across the middle. And Brady's right over there, first guy to check on his wide receiver.
Mike, I'm going to think about this before I say this, and I may say it on a comeback.
P.J. Williams, the hit, will step out for a second.
Well, three of Tom Brady's most important weapons knocked out of last night's game. Leonard Fournette with a hamstring injury. Chris Godwin, as you heard right there. And Mike Evans with a hamstring also. Brady looked absolutely lost after that, going so far as throwing his tablet on the sidelines after a late-game interception. And here's a very salty Brady afterwards.
We just didn't execute great, obviously. Just a tough night, so didn't do much anything right. So got to get a lot better. Got to get back to work. A lot of football left, and see if we can go get a win next week.
He had his We Just Lost t-shirt on instead of the super cool I'm going to the ball dressed like Dracula gear that he usually wears.
Yeah, he didn't go on the conveyor belt where they look at the Jetsons, put your clothes on for you.
There is a video that's going around that somebody said that it looks like Tom Brady is going up to the defensive coordinator of the Saints and telling him to go F himself, but it looks nothing like he's saying that.
So I agree with that. He went over and yelled something, but yeah. I didn't do the lip reading either. It didn't look that way to me.
Let's think it through, because I have not seen this, because I went to bed like a maniac. What would be the incentive of him going to the Saints? Like, why the Saints defensive coordinator? Why would that anger him?
Because he might have thought they were playing dirty. I mean, they were getting to him, but I didn't see anything truly dirty. I mean, because Brady's a bad loser. I mean the we've
one,
learned that.
The one, who was it, Gardner-Johnson, the guy who had the pick, kind of got in Brady's face, so maybe he was like, you know, cut back your guys down or something. Like, I don't know what he would have yelled. But
that was like, you don't do it after, because you're right. He got it when you're saying get into his face, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
He walked up to him and like crossed his arms.
Yeah, kind of like got right up to
him. But even Brady like turned and just like
and
smiled.
No, he did. That's true.
It reminded me of, what's his name? Lance so-and-so with LeBron blowing in his ear.
Oh, Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson. It was like that, where just like LeBron just laughed. That's kind of what Brady did.
Yeah,
like,
but
all
just,
right, man. You had your moment.
But I'm like wondering, like, what does he think, that they had like a price on people's heads, like this is another one of these bounty gates.
That organization's been known for that, so
yeah. I don't get why you would seek out the defensive coordinator and start yelling at him.
He did. Now that he did do, he went to the sidelines and did yell something, but right. I don't think it was go F yourself. It seemed it
didn't look that way.
No, not as angry as that.
I mean, he was clearly pissed. You mentioned he was spiking the tablet and stuff, so he was upset and frustrated. He played terribly. They looked awful. They've lost the number one seed in the NFC, at least temporarily. But yeah, I agree. It didn't look like he was dropping F-bombs.
But you guys remember when Bruce Arians made that threat about how Antonio Brown was on thin ice if he made one more slip up and he could be cut? And then remember when he made a slip up and then he wasn't cut? And then remember when Bruce Arians floated the idea that there was a chance that Antonio Brown might be cut once his suspension was over for faking his vaccination card? Yeah, well, that didn't happen. It was announced yesterday that he would be returning next week because everyone knows it's Brady that makes all of the decisions.
And if you're a Bucs fan, you would be furious if he did not bring him back.
Well, I mean, especially with what you just saw yesterday with Godwin and Evans. And
yeah, if you're a fan of that team, like, what are you, like, standing on principle?
But I do love Bruce Arians, who, you know, pretends he's in charge. He was asked yesterday about, hey, remember when you said you might not bring him back? What happened?
Can you just speak to what went into that decision to bring both players back?
No, it's in the best interest of our football team, and both those guys have served their time, and we welcome them back.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Tom said you, thank you better. If you know what's good for you, you do not.
If I'm Arians, I'm saying you're absolutely coming back. I need bodies.
Well, that's fine. But I mean, for him to just feign that that was even something he would consider when you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Well, no. But I mean, if it was the Patriots, would you stand on principle and go, don't bring him back?
Patriots did.
No. That was
get rid of Antonio Brown.
No. Not for something like that. They got rid of Antonio Brown because he had 85 million very serious charges against him. This is a faked vaccination card, which he got suspended for 3 games, and then they can bring him back. And if you recall, the Patriots weren't in the best PR place in the world at the time of the Antonio Brown situation.
Well, that was a decision, right, they had to make because of all of that.
Edelman got suspended for PEDs, and they brought him back.
Edelman did, correct?
But I don't think at any point Bill Belichick said that I'm going to have to consider whether or not we actually keep him on the team.
They weren't like, hey, Brady, you deflated some footballs, you're cut.
Yeah. Listen,
they brought him back. So they probably bring Antonio Brown
Every Patriots fan, including myself, if I was a fan of the Patriots, would have been furious if they didn't bring Antonio Brown back. Especially with
circumstances.
Under these, yeah.
If you're
but it just shows
along.
That Arians is just a puppet. He's been a puppet.
No, why are they even bothering asking Arians? They should just be like, yeah, Bruce, whatever. We'll ask Tom on Wednesday or whatever. Or is Antonio Brown back?
The real GM.
Yeah.
Now, I know he seems to do this after every Bucs loss, but it makes me laugh every time when Kendrick Perkins last night tweeted, quote, at least enough to wake up to one of those damn Tom Brady selfie videos tomorrow. Appreciated, Saints. Carry on.
By the way, the Jets were able to put up, I believe, 9 points against the New Orleans Saints. So
Jets didn't look bad yesterday. They didn't look bad.
If you want to get nerdy about it, I'll talk to you off air.
I just heard a good. Lockhart and Fred had a good. There was a good Jets conversation going on.
Lockhart's very nice to me because after every Jets game, we go over the Jets game and he gives me the encouraging signs sure. That we talk about it.
It was like a sympathetic year. It was like, hey, you know, they're looking pretty good.
They're
pretty scrappy team.
He's going to be a good coach. That I'll say. As for Wilson, I don't know. But I don't know about any of these young quarterbacks. I really don't. I don't know about anyone.
Even Mac? So I'm with you. I'm with you on Mac.
I don't know yet. Do I know Mac Jones is going to be like a really good quarterback? No.
No.
No, I have no. I don't know that. I know that Mac Jones is right now the best out of all of them.
I know that. Here's the only thing that I do know, and that is because we've heard from some insiders, is that it's scary to find out that one of these quarterbacks has what is essentially the football yips and that the team is worried.
Yes.
And that's we've heard that about Zach Wilson. There's some people who apparently are inside, and that is out of all the things, because you're right, we don't know Justin Fields, he hasn't had enough time. We sure as hell don't know enough about Trey Lance. And Trevor Lawrence is gonna be fine. But as far as Zach Wilson is concerned, that's the only thing that stands out as being a true concern.
But if you watch him, it's progressively getting better.
Yeah. I mean you're right. He hasn't been awful these past
weeks. You bring it up and then everyone gets mad at me. But the thing is that when you play Miami, they play a very, very, very aggressive defense. The Jets were out their left side of their offensive line, and we're bringing everybody. And so in the second half of that game, they're just like, we're bringing everybody. And that which gave Wilson like a second to make a decision, which he's not good enough to do.
In fairness, Mac, remember the first game? The first time he dropped back to pass, the Dolphins had him under siege. He was like throwing backwards, like behind himself, like he was flustered.
Yeah, they for better or for worse, they go all out. They really go after the quarterback.
Well, no one's going to take the Dolphins lightly. I mean, remember they started 1-7. They're 7-7 now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've ripped off 6 wins in a row, and I have to take a look at who they've been playing, but I mean,
I've seen them play a lot this year, and they run a very interesting, they do run a very, the most aggressive defense I've seen in the NFL in a long time.
Okay, their winning streak is Houston, Baltimore, Jets, Carolina, Giants, Jets again.
Okay, well, that's so not a lot
of great
impressive
teams in there, but Baltimore's a good win.
I mean, especially as, I mean,
it was earlier in the season,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, it was, Lamar Jackson was healthy. It was, okay, whatever.
That is a good win.
4 or 5 weeks
that's
ago.
That's a good win.
November 11th, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're not world beaters. And I'm not even telling you they're good. I'm just telling you that their defense metrically is, in terms of numbers, is very good, too. But,
and they never should have been as bad as that 1-7 start, no, either. Like, they should have been better than that.
No, Tua's no good. You want to know who you should be concerned about is Tua. Wilson outplayed Tua, and that's a fact in that game.
Hasn't Tua, once again, this is from someone I've been watching highlights.
He improved.
Hasn't Tua been better the last several weeks?
Not this week, though.
I haven't watched him a lot. I saw him run over one jet, like he had like one 10-yard run,
yeah,
and ran
then
somebody
you see
over.
The pick six that he threw.
The
like,
pick six was real.
That
was very bad.
Yeah, Wilson outplayed Tua, and that's a fact.
But I think Tua's, again, I don't watch him week in and week out. I think his completion percentage might be higher than Max, mm-hmm, but I think they're giving him a lot of easy stuff, right?
Rich, you were right. He had been playing much better. Mm-hmm. He regressed mightily against a horrible defense yesterday. That was the first pick six by a corner that the Jets have had in like 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was some guy rookie. I mean, he just threw it right to some rookie. So, all right, we'll be back. Lots happened in the NFL.
Also, we got to kind of, it's tough to keep track, but chaos within the NHL with the Bruins and the Celtics. Who knows if they're going to even, the Celtics are going to be playing this week, but we've got kind of all the latest on who's available if they do.
Oh, yeah, my Twitter was.
It's been, I mean, just how you're looking down, every other tweet this weekend was this guy's out with COVID, well, this game's been canceled,
or,
this game's.
Or yelling at me about like my very controversial takes on it.
Oh.
And then someone wrote during theirs, I mean, ... which just
right in the middle.
Yeah, I mean,
it's almost like typing.
So
I mean, you don't need to.
So I don't tweet a lot. So but I did see that. So I said, he goes, I just ... I go, what a lazy finger waving, wagging, twittery, jag-off, lack of creative initiative, douchebag way of responding to something you disagree with.
Which one felt better, the chirping this guy or clapping back at the old lady there at the Pops?
I gotta figure the in-person clap back. I'm old school. Yeah, you gotta clap back
in
person.
That's true. They do it. They do it first.
But like, what is it with Twitter with that stuff? Like, I just, like
SMH.
Like you're so like I need to catch my breath. It's so bad. Ew.
You always delete the I just. Like, if you were writing a sentence and then you stopped and wanted to read it, you could always go back and delete it.
No, well, no, because I just. You got to portray how exasperated
but
you are.
But you're writing. Yeah. You're not
no,
speaking.
No, which Rich is why.
Unless you're using Dragon Naturally Speaking, where you're speaking into your computer.
But Rich, you have to type as you speak to be successful on Twitter. I just ... I mean, come on. Oh, you got to me. I didn't like that. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They've got the insiders.
It's Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich, what's going down?
Well, it looks like the Bruins won't have a chance to get stuck in Canada after all. All cross-border play has been temporarily suspended, which means The Bees have been shut down through at least December 26th, with four games being postponed. Nine players and two staffers right now are in COVID-19 protocols, and that number could grow. The Brighton facility shut down as well. On top of that, the NHL is mulling keeping players home instead of sending them to Beijing for the Winter Olympics in 2 months over the recent COVID-19 outbreak. Now, we had heard from Nick Foligno last week that any player that tests positive for COVID while in Beijing could have to quarantine there for upwards of 5 weeks.
Yes.
Which is just, I mean, it's like you're essentially a prisoner. And the way that it was described, and we had heard this as well, and he said that this is the talk, is that not only are you quarantining, but they're not effing around about you not leaving your room. There's guys with actual guns that are at the facility.
You're in solitary confinement in a nice room.
I don't think those dorms are very nice, to be quite honest.
Yeah, you know, well, I guess it's a step up from prison. But, I mean, you're a prisoner.
Yeah, you're not allowed to run out and grab a coffee.
No, you're like a military prisoner.
Yeah.
And the idea, and by the way, like, okay, so it's 5 weeks and China's not going to change their mind? Like, it's just five. I mean, there's so many variables there. They can't send anyone there. They can't.
Well, the only people that would probably feel comfortable going are the people that have literally nothing else going on except for the Olympics. Like the Flying Tomato. Like, what else has he got?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Like, NHL players
no,
aren't going to go.
About
yes.
NHL
yeah.
players.
But, like, people, oh, yeah. NHL people who, like, every 4 years, this is their potential of endorsements and
yeah,
things
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I'm a figure skater,
yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah, you're yeah. right. Well, this is it. This yeah. is my one thing.
Yeah, yeah. If this is the thing, the only time they're ever going to watch me for my entire life, that I've prepared my entire life for this one thing. Sure, I'd go to China.
Well, what's wild, too,
NHL
is that
player, I'm not going anywhere near China.
Right. And what's crazy is that when you hear the NHL talk about their hesitancy of letting players go there, there's going to be a decision that they said in the upcoming days. The Olympics start February 3rd, so they got to make this decision fairly quick. They're not even quoting the whole five-week quarantine. What they're quoting is that, well, because we've had to postpone so many games,
right.
we got to make them up somehow. And that whole month that they were originally going to be off,
those are just seems be like COVID games.
Yeah, those are basically, it's going to be like the COVID special, which they might have to do. So you got double problems there. They said they're going to know in the next couple of days what's going to happen. Now, as far as the Celtics are concerned,
do you have the Yzerman thing?
No, I'll get into play it. Mike Yzerman, GM of the Red Wings, talked about, you know, the players, none of them being symptomatic or none of them are sick, and they still couldn't play. It sounds like an interesting clip, which I'd like to hear.
Yzerman's point is that Foligno made too, is he's like, you're testing these guys all the time, and he's like, we got these guys that have been vaccinated with boosters, and they're
tested every day, or not every day, but like weekly for, you know, going on 2 years, every day, a year ago.
And none of them are sick.
Right. It's what the NFL's doing.
Yeah, the NFL has essentially decided to not test the players who are fully vaccinated. And I don't believe boosted is part of it yet, but I think that's something they're going
to move
towards.
I'm sure it will be. And, yeah. You know, Yzerman's point is, who is this hurting? Like who is this hurting? None of these guys are ill. Everyone in the league, I mean, almost, like, literally, except for a guy? Didn't Jaffe say there was, like, a guy?
Well, I know that Evander Kane was not, because he faked his card
right.
first. He might be now. And there was, I think, like, one other one that he was talking about. Yeah, of all the leagues, the NHL has the most vaccinated.
So let's say two guys aren't vaccinated in all the NHL. So, like, the point is, like, exactly who are you protecting?
As long as the Players Association agrees with it, then I think that's it's their decision right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they all agree that if we have gotten our booster and we are fully vaccinated, that you can just not test us, then I don't see a problem with
that. Yeah, unless you're symptomatic.
Unless you're symptomatic.
Well, yeah,
that's
sick,
the caveat.
Like, yeah. If you're sick, you don't play.
And I think that's the way the NFL has proposed it.
I think that's what they're doing. And I'll be honest, I was kind of arguing with Zoe and Hardy about this on Friday. I was kind of like, the NFL stepping it down as opposed to full-on not testing, that seems right to me. Like, honestly, like, the whole not testing thing with all these vaxxed players, like, I'm starting to come around to where Zoe and Hardy were. I was a little late on that, but right. They're all asymptomatic. They're all vaccinated. They've been tested for 2 years.
Who exactly are you?
Right?
And, like, if I work at Merrill Lynch, you know, they're not testing me every day. If I feel ill,
work here.
I guess
we're not tested every day.
I'm thinking about larger corporations.
Yeah, I see.
Devil's advocate, though, people in Merrill Lynch aren't sharing a locker room with other guys, where the only issue I can see is that if someone has a young family who have kids of age that cannot be vaccinated.
Right, under five, yeah.
And they're afraid of that. But if those players agree to this, then why should we have a problem with it?
Right, right.
So as long as the Players Association's all in, then I could. But I do understand if that's the reason for their hesitancy, I get it. But right now it seems like a fairly solid plan as long as all the players are on board. Now, as far as the Celtics are concerned, who the hell knows if they're going to play the next two games? Seeing that both of their upcoming opponents had to cancel their most recent games due to not having enough healthy people on their roster to play. The C's, they're set to take on the 76ers tonight, but the Sixers had to postpone last night's game against the Pelicans due to them not having enough healthy bodies to play. If the Celtics do play tonight, however, if there's no more names added to the COVID or injury list, they only have 8 players, which is the bare minimum to field a team. And here's your roster. You might have this as your lineup. Marcus Smart, Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith, Jaylen Brown, Justin Jackson, Rob Williams, Ennis Freedom, and Bruno Fernando.
Oh, holy Bruno Fernando. Crap. He just sounds like a honk. I don't even know what he looks like.
It's Bruno Fernando.
He sounds like a wrestler. I mean, he should be like a Jay Stu guy is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him at the loon.
On top of that, the team that the Celtics are to take on Wednesday, the Cleveland Cavaliers, a game I have tickets to, also had to postpone their game last night due to a lack of healthy bodies on the court. So nobody knows. What time do they make that call, Adam, as to whether or not the Sixers game is going to be this evening?
That's a good question.
I got to think that, I mean, if they didn't play last night, I mean, the chances of them playing tonight got to be low.
Well, what's funny is
Philly here? They're probably here, right? So I feel like if they had them schlep all the way here and they don't have any more tests, they're probably playing the game, I would think.
Boy, so see, that's another weird thing. If they're here,
I mean, I don't know that for a fact that they're here, but if they're playing tonight, they're probably here, right?
But if they're here, who do they travel with? Because you can't bring players that are on the COVID list to travel with you, right?
Yeah, they stay in whatever city. That happened with the Red Sox, right? The Red Sox were leaving guys in different cities all summer while they were having their COVID outbreak.
So there wouldn't be enough to travel. So what would have to happen probably is that those players on the COVID list would have to test this morning in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And then make their way here for tonight's game.
Yeah, right. if they test out,
which would be really strange. And the Cavaliers one, we'll see. And once again, the Celtics are one player away from not having enough to play. Now, I do know that the NBA last night passed a new rule that you can add one more player, I think, to the roster in order to substitute for the COVID things. And there's a lot of guys who have been out of the league for a while are getting a little chance. Isaiah Thomas, baby. How about him?
Yeah. I think he started for the Lakers last night. I don't know what he did. I know they lost. I don't know how he did, but I think he started that game.
Yeah, we shall see.
The G League game he played in, by the way, he was outplayed by another guy. Isaiah Thomas,
he scored 42 points.
Not a good percentage.
Okay, he took just way too many shots.
He took way too many shots.
Yeah, well,
not a good percentage from. And I like Isaiah Thomas, but he was outplayed. There was a guy who scored, I think, around that, but he was much more productive, much more efficient.
Here's that Eisenman clip right here.
At the end of the day, our players are testing positive with very little symptoms, if any symptoms at all. I don't see it as a threat to their health at this point. So I think you might take it a step further and question, why are we even testing for guys that have no symptoms?
I think once that Pfizer pill becomes widely available, then all this is done. I think that once you can
daily or weekly testing.
I think that once that pill is ready to go, that changes the game. But
Eisenman's point is that these guys have been tested. They've been vaccinated. They've been boosted, and they're not getting sick. So who exactly are you protecting? The guy that didn't get vaccinated? Like the one guy in the NHL?
Or the family of the guy on the team whose kids can't get vaccinated? That's the argument.
Right. And that's a personal decision because if you're a kid, the chances of you getting ill from COVID are very, very infinitesimal. So, but that's a personal decision.
Yeah.
And that's a personal decision by the guy. And you know what? They should be able to decide to sit out games.
But yeah, and as I said,
not be penalized. But that doesn't mean that the guys that want to play shouldn't be able to play.
Yeah, and as I said, if all the players agree to these new rules, then who are we to say that they can't do that?
And it sounds to me from the players we've talked to, they'd agree to it. So it sounds like they don't want to be locked in rooms. It sounds like they want to play. It sounds like they want to get the season going. They want to play hockey and make money. That's the way it sounds to me. All right, Teddy J knows how to make cash, and that's by coming in the Toucher and Rich Show at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's when the real moolah starts rolling in. So we'll talk all about Saturday's affair with Ted Johnson in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.